Podcast Network Asia.
Hey guys, I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to Family Unboxed. In this show, we talk about everything family. We talk about the light stuff, the fun stuff, and even the controversial stuff, because our goal is to help see families changed and the world changed one family at a time.
So in a positive way.
Yes, in a positive and good way.
Hello.
Hello.
So, hello to you guys. What are we going to talk about today, my dear?
Let's let the boys introduce it.
Today, we're going to talk about time management.
Right. Okay. So, time management. You even have a passage for us in scripture that you want to kick it off with.
Yeah. So, the verse is in Psalms 90, verse 12, and it reads, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom."
Maybe you can expound on that a little. So what does it mean?
Let's set up the why. Why are we talking about time management? Anybody want to talk about why we're talking about time management?
Because the verse says, number your days.
Oh, the verse helps remind us, right? But it's like in the climate of many different things that the Bible can talk about, why are we talking about this particular thing? That's a good point to start off with. So
It's because we need to improve on time management.
There you go.
And secondly, I think it's an issue for many people today because everything we do is so fluid, you know, whether you're studying or you're working or you're a parent or a wife or a husband or a father or a child in a home, the nature of everything you do kind of just flows into one another these days because it's pretty borderless in terms of what you, a lot of it's online.
You don't have to worry about travel time.
Yes.
So you feel like you can do much more.
So because of that, it's either you add so many things or you're not able to properly set boundaries. And sometimes you're not able to prioritize properly. So maybe we can share.
For example, we were supposed to be on time and get this going at 11:30.
Yes.
Well, what happened? Let's hear, what were you doing before this? This is a very practical way to assess time management.
I was homeschooling the girls. I was reading to them their science.
Okay. But we knew 11:30 we should be on, right?
Yes.
So what happened?
I was late. This is how Edric corrects us, by the way. This is very typical.
I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
And then?
What?
So because this is exactly why we're talking about time management, right? I mean, the little cues and nuances from the answers to these questions help us. So you're homeschooling the kids. You knew there's 11:30. And then what happened?
No, I forgot that there was an 11:30.
There you go.
So it's my bad. I'm sorry.
So this is great. So what about you guys? What were you guys doing before this?
I was here at 11:30.
But I
came into the room.
Ian came here. He was ready.
Elijah. I was having a call outside.
You were having a call outside. Okay.
Anyway.
Insurance,
so this is great. So I think part of what we're learning is the reason why time management is so important is because there's so many moving pieces in our life. Joy, homeschools, so many things. And you go, oh, wait, I have other things I need to do. Elijah suddenly gets these interruptions that are necessary, you know, or not. And as they're happening,
they are necessary.
Then he makes those calls. And so these are the realities. This is why even as a family, we feel like, hey, this is important for us to talk about because as the Bible says,
teach us to number our days.
Right. What does that mean, number our days?
That's a good question.
Well, if you literally look at it, it's saying to look at the value and not lose sight of how precious each day is for two reasons, because we should be purposeful, which God commands us to do, and also because Jesus is coming soon.
Mm.
So it tells us to do that so that we may present a heart of wisdom to Christ and show that we have been faithful servants.
Mm.
So I think that's a definition of the verse.
Very good. You want to add anything to that, Elijah?
I think what the verse is basically telling us, if you look at the verses before, it talks about how even with our 70, 80 years of life, our life is just like a mist that vanishes away. And the sooner that we realize how little time we actually have, the sooner we'll shape up and say, I need to be a good steward of this time that God has given me on this earth. So it's not just about numbering the hours or seconds or minutes, but about numbering days.
Mm. Nice.
Good. You, babes?
I think I like what Bolton said. I like that we really have to be purposeful with how we spend our time. Mm. I think there was a time when we got COVID when it was like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do because I'm sick, I'm in bed. So I was watching a lot of Netflix, and I don't usually do that, but I just felt like because, you know, I couldn't really do much else, then somehow I was entitled to do that. But it created a sort of pattern in my day where it was hard to get out of that, right? And even for the kids. So I'm glad we're not doing that anymore. We've reverted back to our normal schedule, which is just watching on the weekends, except I got sick again. The last 2 days I had stomach flu. So I watched a little bit again. But I'm just saying with things like that, because things are so accessible to us and somehow we feel like, well, I'm entitled to this. You know, I have a gadget, a device. Why can't I be entitled to some kind of entertainment since everything out there I can't control anyways, and we're in this pandemic and what else is there to do? So I think that can be one mindset that we have when we really should be thinking still, how can I take this time that I do have, even given the circumstance, and still be very purposeful and intentional and ask God, Lord, how do you want me to spend this day? How can I glorify you with today? And how can I make the most of the opportunities you present to me today?
Right. So let's make that practical.
The way I would phrase that is productivity with a purpose, because sometimes we can be super productive, right? Like we're doing so much, but is it really purposeful? Do we have a set goal for what we're doing?
I love that, Eden. You know, and I think when people ask me, are you busy? I'll say, actually, if you think about it, we're always busy.
We're always busy.
The question is, what are we busy with? So I will answer and say, I'm actually purposeful. And that's how I actually ask people that question. Also, the men that I might be mentoring, I'm asking them, are you just busy? Are you purposeful? Like, to your point exactly. So how can you expound on that? How will you know if a person is purposeful or not? Let's make it practical. Elijah, what are your thoughts?
I think being purposeful starts with what your priorities are in life.
Good.
And if what you're doing aligns with priorities, then you're being purposeful. Of course, you can have the wrong priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where you take another step back and ask yourself, what is your goal with your time? What are you really trying to accomplish? For me, that could be as simple as getting ready for college. So if my use of time and my priorities reflect that I'm really preparing for college, I'm doing all these things in preparation for college, then I'd say I'm being purposeful in that situation because I'm going towards a goal. If you're not going anywhere, then you're not being purposeful with your time.
Very
so
good.
For me, for example, non-purposeful activities could be, you know, just entertainment. It doesn't really do anything to get me closer to my goal, or good things that are not necessarily the most important thing that I need to work on right now.
Playing the piano, music.
Because
there's good
music,
things and there's greater things.
It's good. It's fun to play the piano, and it's fun to use my time that way. But when I have other responsibilities at hand, when my purpose is at hand, and I'm not aligned with that, then I'm not being purposeful, even if those seem like good things.
So just as an insert, you want to qualify.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with entertainment also,
yes.
Right? But we're saying...
Your entertainment can actually get you closer to your goal because rest is part of the process of getting to your goal.
There you go.
If the rest is needless rest, like in the Bible where it says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, when you start to justify it, just because you want that rest and you're justifying all your entertainment as rest, then it says your poverty will come upon you like a robber want, like an armed man. You're not going to expect it. And you're going to be overwhelmed suddenly with all your priorities out of whack. So have purposeful rest as well.
Nice. So Eden, you're going to talk about great and good.
Before we get to that, do you want to explain the 5% principle, Dad?
Oh.
I think that's very relevant.
Sure.
Because how do you know what your
priority
is?
Yeah.
Priorities.
So I love that. So what I'm hearing from you guys is it's kind of like a funnel, right? In order for you to number your days, like to literally choose what to do and not to do and be intentional about our time, you start off with your end goal, your bigger goal. That big goal will set up for you your priorities. Because obviously, if this is your big goal, for example, if my goal is to become the next, Well, if your goal is to become the next president or something along those lines, that is the main goal or the thing that God has called you to do, then you will make sure that all the priorities you have are in line with that, right? So if those priorities are clear, then you can now decide on a day-to-day, are you spending time doing that? So what Eden was saying is, you want me not to talk about that 5%, right? So actually, you should talk about the 5%. This is your show.
That.
Yeah, exactly. So these are a couple of things we've learned.
You've given a whole talk on time management. So I think you're the best person.
5%. What is the 5%?
So the 5% principle
is from?
Is by Wayne Cordero.
Oh, you know.
What it's about is, in our life, there's a big 100% of the things that are going on. 80% of these things can be done by other people. Mm-hmm. Because to us, usually it seems like everything that's put right in front of us, we have to do it. But in reality, 80% of that can be done by others.
Examples. Give examples of 80% things.
80% of things that can be done by others is, for example, if I have a role in High Unite, like marketing, there's so many other people in High Unite who are good at marketing. And that's not something that I have to do specifically in that place. It can be done by someone else. Does that make sense?
Yep. So High Unite is the high school organization of Homeschool Global, the homeschool program.
I have a question for you.
So you're saying there are marketing tasks and things that you don't have to necessarily do. That's 80%. Okay.
Yeah. You can actually
you can
train.
Delegate.
You can delegate.
You can say, hey, yeah, actually, there's other people who do it. Okay. And then 15%.
15%. So yeah, it's 80, 15, and 5. All adds up to 100. The 15% of things, those are things you can train up others to do. So even though you might not say to yourself, well, I'm not really a leader, everybody can really train up other people to do things. And going back to High Unite, as a leader, there are positions where I can teach other people how to do things. I can mentor them and I can train them how to do things, which are in this 15%. For example, doing tech for a Zoom event. I have some experience doing this, but is this a role I have to pursue? Mm. I can teach other people how to do it so that they can also grow bigger in this area. I don't have to do everything. Mm. There are ways for me to train up others to do
delegate
things so that they can also
this
grow.
Right? This is training.
Oh, yeah. Training.
And then in the final 5%, these are things that only you can do. And Elijah, would you like to talk about those while I close the door?
Okay. So the 5%, and this is my dad's favorite expression, as a reason to, like, you know, dad, can you help me with this? Oh, no, it's not my 5% right now. 5%.
That's a whole other conversation.
5% of things in life that only you can do, that you can't train anyone else to do, and that you cannot delegate to other people without suffering consequences, you know. So what are these 5% things? These are the things that are most aligned with your purpose. These are the things
in
that
your
will
season.
Cause most right. impact in your season of life that you are uniquely gifted to do. So,
for example,
I'll speak from a parent standpoint now, right?
Because
for example, 5% as a dad, only I can be a dad to my kids. And if I don't fulfill that, then someone might fill those shoes or they might look for it from others, right? Because it's not being done. So that's dangerous. So I need to be the one to fulfill that because no one else should or can really do that fathering role than me. And the 5% for Joy would be the same, being a mom, being a wife to me, being a husband to Joy. Those are 5%. If I don't be that husband that God wants me to be for Joy, then it's going to create distortions. You know, and this is what can lead to in marriages, affairs, and all these things because it's not being fulfilled. So that 5% is something that only we can and only we should be able to do in our lives. For them as students, that's your 5%. Mm. So for students, that's what you should be focusing on. That's part of what only you can and should do. And for all of us, part of our 5% is clearly only I can read my Bible and grow in my relationship with Jesus. Mm. I can't force that on you. I can't do that for you. That is our 5%. So those are examples of the unique things that if you're clear on, then those are the things you will pursue so that you can number your
days. Yeah, so to summarize that bit, it really boils down to you look at the relationships of your life at present, as well as the life season you're in, and those would tend to be what you need to prioritize. Like Edric mentioned, being a student, for me, being a mom.
And there are seasons for you in being a mom. You have a newborn.
Right.
And then they get older.
Yeah.
So that changes also your 5%, right?
Yes. Yes, thank you. So I think there's this term where, and I just want to connect it to what we said about the 5%, that there are personality types that overfunction for others. And this leads to burnout.
Like my personality type.
Yes. Elijah, he has the gift of help. So when somebody comes knocking at his door and says, I need you to tutor me in this subject area. And it's a great thing that he wants to help people, but he can end up spending the whole day tutoring this person in calculus or whatever and neglect all his other priorities because he has that gift of help and he wants to be helpful. But it is, in a way, it's also detrimental to his own time management. Do you agree?
Yeah.
So what do we do?
So what have you done to fix that? Because that desire to help people is actually a good thing. It has its place and it has, you know, it's a great blessing. But you need to learn to identify when in your day can you make time for that instead of setting aside the whole day to tutor. Like, I like what Eden does, right? Elijah, you're great. You have a gift of help.
Eden doesn't tutor anyone.
Because what does Eden say? Eden, what do you say when people ask you for help?
That's not my priority. He actually said that to me recently. He's like, I can't do that. That's not my priority. I'm like, what? This 5% has backfired on me.
What do you say to people when... let's say, Eden, I need you to help me today. What do you say?
Check my schedule.
Yes. They say that. So we'll go back to Elijah. So you were asking him, I want to help. Yeah, go ahead, Elijah.
Elijah has improved so much on this. And I think that's why God gave him an extra number of months before leaving for college in order to work on this, because it is a skill. Mm. It is an ability. It's a discipline. And a lot of times we're not
being on time for this.
We're not born with that time management ability. We really have to learn it. And the thing is, we can always learn it. It's not like just because we're not good at it, we can't improve on it. And so, Elijah, what are the ways that have helped you to improve in this area of time management?
So first, to address that specific thing where I tutor people for long times, I realize a lot of the time when I help people, it's because I like to feel wanted. Mm. I like to feel like they need me. And so it creates a dependence on me. And I kind of like that. So what I realize is I don't need that if this dependence that I've created is starting to take away time that could be used to help other people or time that could be used to fulfill what my goal is right now. So what do? The way that I teach them, I don't just spoon feed them the answers. I say, you figure it out on your own and you learn how to learn it on your own. And I have to give that tough call on them, even if they say, you know, Elijah, I really don't understand. I don't know how to do this.
I really want to jump in. Go ahead. Finish it.
You're smart enough to figure that out on your own. I've taught you enough. And they come back to me an hour later saying, Elijah, okay, I finished this part. And then I need help with this new thing. I'm really stuck. I need your help, Elijah. And then I say, well, look what you did. You just finished it all by yourself.
There you go.
And I affirm that. And then I say, let's do that again.
So that applies to the
15%.
Exactly.
That's the 15%.
And I wanted to just jump in and encourage you, Elijah. This is the first time I'm actually hearing this from my son, by the way, is how he likes to feel needed. So as a dad, I'm totally coding this in my mind. Speaking of coding, I think, Elijah, just encouraging those that are listening also, the delight of feeling needed is wonderful. But in the era of time management, I'm saying but in a good way, the next level of deep fulfillment is when you now empower.
Mm. Yes.
And when you see them able to do that. For example, let's make it very practical. Elijah was a wee boy. And, you know, I was handling all the tech in our house.
Just a wee boy.
Wee boy, a little boy. Wee.
A wee little boy. I thought it was like some new term.
See? Wee. Little wee. So a wee little boy. So when he was very, very young, so 8 or 9 or so, I was in charge of all the tech in our house, you know, having to deal with if my wife had problems with internet connections, I'd be the one calling, all those things. Now Elijah grows older. He has interest in that. And so I start delegating and saying, Elijah, can you help us figure these things out? And now he's literally... He knows all of these things more than I ever could. And now I'm not dependent on him.
Now we're going to be in trouble.
Reverse empowering of me.
I've actually been seeing.
But Can you see that? So when I saw that he could now do it, I had so much confidence in him that the whole family had confidence, even the artist, everyone now has confidence in him to do it.
It's because I wear glasses.
And it has nothing to do with that, by the way. I was able to empower you, give you the opportunity to be able to do that. Then it freed me up to do my
5%,
but it also now empowered you. And that is like a double win. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. When you move from the, I like to feel needed, so I'm going to be doing many of these things, which I can actually empower them to do. Mm-hmm. Once you move to the empowerment, then there's that double win of you move to your 5% and you're also able to see the delight of, look at these guys doing what they, you know, unleashing and able
but
to
but it takes humility also to be able to give that up.
That's a very good
and
one.
And say, you actually don't need me anymore.
Exactly.
You can do this on your own.
Right.
And to see them go on their own, for my personality type, it's a little bit hard also sometimes.
And this is why, when you go back to the verse that Eden shared, I want to unpack that insight. It says, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach me. Because the reality is there's a humility that we need to come before God in acknowledging the fact that, hey, we don't have it all figured out, even if we know these things in our head. So we will need your help to be able to manage your time that you have given me to steward. Better. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with that, Elijah. Create inside the humility part
Let's just kind of, for those who are catching up with this, just identify the things that we've talked about. So first would be that there's one kind of mismanagement of time, which has to do with, well, I can't control my circumstance right now, so I'm just going to kind of binge and entertain myself because I don't know what else to do really to stay sane during this season. So that's one problem. The other one is the overfunctioning, where you feel like you have to do everything and take on everything because if you don't do it,
are you just sharing what you're feeling about yourself personally? I'm just joking. Because I'm like, anyway, keep going.
Right? And then the other one is the overfunctioning
personality. That's my personality. Type.
Which
she's just summary.
You feel like you have to do everything for everyone, right? Because I think the first one has to do with what Eden identified, which is there's no real purpose and meaning for your day. So you just kind of go with the flow,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the overfunctioning type of personality. And then I want to talk about, and don't be upset, babe, but I think I need to call out the performance-driven personality, which is you.
So I think what's happening right now is we're kind of calling out each other.
Because what you do is when you have any opening in your schedule, it's like, you know that it's like there'll be a hole.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You're filling all the jigsaw pieces in.
You will keep filling it up with sand or whatever it is. There's a hole, you fill it up with sand.
What's the sand?
The sand is anything that he feels like he should do and add to his plate because he feels like he needs to be busy, perpetually busy. So, and I think you've changed a lot in this area.
Have you really?
You have. But I think even lately.
So get that book, Addicted to Busy. So we want to give you guys a free resource. I want to look for it.
Have you read it?
I think for many of us, we are addicted to busy. That's my flaw. That's my, I'll find it here. Well,
so that's the other personality type. It's that personality. It's that performance driven, addicted to busy type of personality. And this personality is also not healthy because it may seem like, wow, you're so good at managing time because you have a lot of things going on that you're able to do, but not all of it may be what you're supposed to be doing. And you don't have enough rest, as Elijah called out, not enough purposeful rest, which eventually catches up to you because you end up getting sick.
Yeah.
You end up getting burnt out.
What's this?
You end up also affecting the relationships around you.
Let me give you some practical tips from this book, since Joy mentioned it, and this is my flaw, so I tried to find a way to pass this up. It's by Brady Boyd, Addicted to Busy, Recovery for the Rushed Soul. It's actually an older book, but it still is relevant, and I find even more relevant today. Brady Boyd uses the term, the Jesus pace, and I love that. He talks about rhythmic pacing. So I'll give you examples, and many of you who know your Bibles will remember these stories. Jesus withdraws in order to work through tragic news. One, such as when he learns that his friend John the Baptist has died. He withdraws to gain insight on important decisions, such as when which men to call to follow him, you're right, that night before he chose his disciples. He withdraws so that he simply can pray. He withdraws to enjoy time with his closest companions. He withdraws as a means of teaching his disciples the unparalleled value of rest. He doesn't wait until his mission is accomplished. He doesn't wait until someone sanctions a few days off for him. He doesn't even wait for an official Sabbath to dawn. When he senses it's time to withdraw, he just goes. Jesus obeyed a deeper rhythm, wrote Wayne Mueller. Absolutely, he does just that. Engage, engage, engage. Withdraw, engage, 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 withdraw, rhythmic. That's how Jesus lived. It's how we're invited to live too. That was it. So I think creating rhythms of rest, right, is also
the Jesus pace.
Jesus pace, right? Where it's very recently, if I was to overshare, I was talking to my teams and even my family about how, because of this busyness and time management, we often value quantity work or doing a lot of things, where the reality is we are called to create quality work, right? And so we want to ask ourselves, are we doing too much so that the quality of those things suffer? So you're doing too many tasks at home that you being a mom, you're irritable, or so let's make it me as a dad, I'm irritable. I'm a little bit more edgy. And that's honestly how I've been as a dad recently to the kids and to my wife. And so
add some Tagalog daw para hindi manosebleed.
And so, sorry, this is a podcast, so we want to make sure we keep it in one medium. The part of what I realized is I do definitely need to start cutting back. And at the Joyce point, is when I cut back, I should not just fill it in again, so that I have these rhythms of rest. And I, with that rhythm of rest, I can put better quality to the things that I am doing, whether it is being a dad, husband, etc. I also had like back-to-back speaking engagements before the weekend. And I felt like, I wasn't able to give too much quality because everything was kind of moving and my body literally crashed on Saturday. I got sick. So anyway, back to the kids. Let's wind down our conversation, since this is really insights that we're learning from you guys.
I like what you shared there though. I think I need to rest. I need to build rhythms of rest more because I'm addicted to busy.
Well, I hate to say this, but the apple does not fall far from the tree. So my sons and my wife are all reflections of,
wait,
my own flaw.
Your wife?
My wife is an apple also. Apple of my eye. Whoa, you like that? That was quick. Look at that light.
Wait.
Cheesy light.
Wait, I am not like you.
Yeah, well, actually, it's all very busy. You were the one that was late for this thing. So let's not go there. Right? Let's not go there. Let's wind it down. All right, guys. So back to the verse. I love the last part. Maybe we can end with that. It talks about that I may be able to present you with a heart of
wisdom.
Let's unpack that.
And there, should we still talk about the six P's?
We can do that for a whole nother topic.
Yes, okay. Let's wind this one down.
So I want to end with a parallel story, which I feel like very much connects to the verse. The story of the talents. And God, in that story, it talks about how God gives different people different amount of things to steward. And stewarding can also include stewarding priorities, our time. And how we use it, whether we're faithful or not, we will be judged for all of our actions at the end.
We're accountable.
And we're going to be held accountable for them. Thank you, Mom. And are we really trying to be a faithful servant with what God has given us? Because no matter how much or how little he's given us, each of our days are really valuable. And that's why, in that prayer of Moses, he really asks God to tell him to help him understand and comprehend the value of each and every day of our lives, because they're really worth so much. And Jesus could come anytime. So when he does come, are we going to be that faithful servant who he is pleased with? And that's what I wanted to close with, to really be a faithful servant with what God has given us.
I like what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we're all accountable. Mm-hmm. That's like the greater why. Like, why should we have the right priorities? Why should we manage our time?
Why should we look at that end goal and the key priorities that will help me?
Why should we recognize our personality type and then, adjust based on what we know we're supposed to do? And it's because at the end of the day, we're accountable to the Lord for the way that we use our resources, and time is a resource. Mm. And I think remembering too what you said, what you guys identified, that life is really short and things could happen at any moment. And we don't want to have those regrets. You don't want to look back and say, oh my, I wish I had done this. I wish I had reached out to that friend. I wish I'd used my time more productively. I wish I'd learned a skill. I wish I had accomplished this. I wish I'd shared the gospel more. So we don't want to look back and have that kind of regret, or we don't want to
Take it for granted.
Like the people in our lives, our family members, one of our good friends just lost their mom to COVID. It was really quick, in a matter of a week and maybe 2 days, her mom passed away from COVID. And it was so heartbreaking for her. And she's still really grieving about it. And I know many of you might have known somebody who passed away from COVID. And the reality is COVID has escalated for us the reality that life is incredibly fragile. Short and incredibly fragile. Mm. And if we aren't using our time wisely, if we aren't using our time to really practice loving people, to obey God, to maximize the gifts and abilities He's given us, we're going to really have that life of regret. And by God's grace, this friend of ours, she was such a loving daughter and she had a great relationship with her mom. When they were doing the eulogy and they were showing all the photos of their time together as a family, you could see what a rich life they had in terms of relationships and being there for one another. And so on the one hand, it's heartbreaking for her, but I really believe she gave her all in terms of loving her mom. And her mom is also with the Lord because her mom knew Jesus. And so one of the best things we have to do with our time is to make sure that we share the gospel in the way that we live.
I was fine because all the final thoughts that I had, keep going. And Elijah hasn't even said
so
it.
So we
keep
are
going.
Like each other. So yeah, so maybe you guys want to share that point, right? What do you think is
the
most important?
In the way that we live.
In the way that we live. In the actions that we do, the way that we think, what we listen to, what we value, what we spend our time doing. Is it gospel-centered? Is it Christ-centered? Because if it is, then we can stand before God one day and we can be confident about Him saying, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we're not, if the things that we are doing are not gospel-centered, because even rest is gospel-centered, right? We need to rest so that we can be more effective.
Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus. So if we're not, if we reevaluate our lives and there are things that we're doing that are really not necessary or they're even detracting from what we should be doing, then it's time to just humble ourselves and reevaluate and go back to that verse that Eden talked about and ask God, okay, Lord, teach me how to number my days. And I need your wisdom to do this, right?
I just feel like you're so sweet. And you, mom's countenance is so much better now, huh? Because she was not well the last few days. So Elijah, let's hear. That's a separate story. Babe, Elijah, go ahead, buddy. Final thoughts.
I think the power of the phrase, number your days, is what struck me. Because a lot of times we like to look at others. We like to compare ourselves to others and see how well they're managing their time. When the problem is really ourselves and we need to check ourselves and check our hearts, is what we're pursuing really worth using up our lives for? This short life that we have been given, is our purpose worth pursuing? Because we can be the best time managers. We can be super productive. We follow Pomodoro breaks. We have rest all the time. And in the end, it's like Ecclesiastes says, vanity and striving after wind. Will your life really make an impact in this world for Jesus? Mm. Does it have that meaning? And once you have that meaning set, once you know what your role is in God's master plan, then you can really start to manage your time.
And you can say no to the things.
That's why Jesus was able to manage his time so well, because he knew what his role was. Mm. He knew what his end goal was. And all he had to do was execute. And that's all that time management really is. It's executing your goal. It's moving towards your goal. And if you and you can't just have any goal. Is that goal something that's really going to make a difference? Mm-hmm. It's going to make a lasting impact. And that's, and a lot of times, in order to do that, we need to number our days. We need to ask ourselves, how many of the past few days this month have I actually spent on my purpose? Is my purpose something that's really worth using up my days for?
That's very good. Lesson.
And for me, just one last thing.
is this a confession?
This is not really a confession. I think by God's grace, having a very, very clear purpose these past few days has helped me. Mm. And
which is?
And just going into college and preparing for that. Because when I don't have a very clear purpose, I'm free to spend my time on anything I do. And I think that's not a very happy place for our lives to be in, because those are the days that I look up, back on with regret. Like I could have spent them better. Mm. And now having just very few days left until I go to college reminds me how precious every single day is with my family, with my friends. And how every day is really such a gift from the Lord, and it's really such a blessing. And so I don't want to waste these days. I hope you agree with me in that. Yeah.
Thanks, son. Your mom's totally breaking down now. Did you want to? I want to prop this time up so she can break down off camera. Eden already said his piece, then you jumped in. So I think just to kind of close this time, you know, when I realized how life is so short, and all of the sharings, the way that I wake up now is if I am awake, I realized how it would honestly be so much better to be with the Lord in heaven. If you really think about it, that should be our goal, right? It's just, Lord, all the stuff that we have to go through here is actually futile and moot in light of being with you in heaven. But because I'm still alive here, then I have a mission. What is my mission? I want to make sure that I make it count. And as Elijah said, right, if the goal is clear, then it's really just executing it. So at the end of the day, when I go to bed, I ask, Lord, did I give my best today to you? That's kind of how I frame it. I bookend my days. Okay, I'm alive. I'm awake. I've got a mission. I got to carry on and make sure I get it done well. And I ask if I do it to the best of my ability. So thank you guys. Great insights. I think if we're able to do that, then we can present, as Eden said, present it. Like when we're finally face-to-face with God and our time is done, we can say, all right, God, I give my best. And then he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You're wise. You did your best with your time. So good job, guys. We will improve even in starting on time. I'm very blessed by your insights. Join us again, guys, next week. We'll see you guys. Bye, everybody.
Wait, next week we might.
Secret. Okay. Basta.
We'll see you.
See you next time.
See you next week. Next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.